journey, but a little bit about what they do with their 9 to 5. And so I'm going to invite today, there's that noise. James, can you go and have a look at that crazy noise, whatever that is? It's not this microphone, so let's do that. Keep going, you'll figure it out. So this morning I'd like to invite my friend V up, and V's going to share a little bit about what's her 9 to 5 like and what she does. So make her feel welcome. This is V. Come and stand in the middle. You need something to lean on? Or you?
Yeah. Thank you. All right, good morning, everybody. I'm very nervous, so please excuse me. So a lot of you probably already know my journey of how I met God and became a Christian, because it was only 12 months ago. So I am very active in the gym, and Sam befriended me and we became very close. And she answered a lot of my questions, and we used to read Bible together at the pub, and then eventually I came here and was here every Sunday, and I was baptized in November last year. I'm still working on the rest of my family to come here, but that's a slow process, but I'm being very patient with that. So I am a paralegal. I left school at 16 and started work as a junior secretary in a law firm. From about the age of 18, I felt I was very strongly drawn to doing criminal law. That is very challenging in itself. There's very confronting stories and images, and it's quite emotional. It opens your eyes to a lot that happens out there. It's very hard to deal with. You know, you're dealing with people that have committed very, very serious offences, like murders and things like that, on a daily basis. It was very challenging, but I was very passionate about it. Then, you know, you've also got your innocent people that have been charged with very serious crimes that, you know, you need to help and help them, you know, get off from being charged with these crimes and things like that. I guess the positives out of all that is, you know, there is justice for sin out there. I didn't know God at that time, so it's very hard looking back now where God was working in my workplace at that time. One story that does actually stick to mind is there was a 19-year-old. First-time offender, and he was really seriously into drugs, and he got charged with serious assault offence and was in jail, and he was going through detox, and he would call me nearly every day. So it's a lot easier to call your lawyers from jail than it is to call your friends and family. So he would call me nearly every day, and he was going through the detox and panic, and I was just there to listen to him and be an ear and then support him and his family through that. That was God working right there. I didn't realise it at the time, but that was him. And they were so grateful for my support of them and their family and things like that. So up until about 2 years ago, I did crime, and then now I'm in family law, which is a whole other challenge. you know, you've got families being torn apart. Marriage is breaking down, very severe domestic violence, you know, all that sort of stuff. It is very challenging. I have one of the lawyers that I work with, she's a Christian. I've worked with her for 5 years, and she knew all along that I was going to become a Christian, apparently. She knew the plan. But I spoke to her when Matt asked me to speak. I was really struggling to see where God was working in my workplace. So I went and spoke to her about it. And she said, "We're compassionate to people." And I went, "We are. That's it. That's what we do. We help people through the troubled times of their lives. You know, their marriages are breaking down. There's parents fighting over kids, and you know, there's women that don't have any control. They don't have any money because their husband's controlled all the money. You know, it's very eye-opening, and it's very it's very sad. And we're compassionate to these people. They thank us for listening. We have a client at the moment that she's been a client for about 12 months. And she came to us, and she was a mess. She was very unsettled, irrational. scared. She'd just left a domestic violence relationship, marriage. And I saw her just the other day. And she is so thankful and so confident. And she is so grateful for our help to make her and her children safe. And she has acknowledged the change in her children. They are different kids. She said she doesn't recognise the kids because they're just so happy and no behavioural issues, and they're just a lot calmer. So it was reassuring for me to know that that's God working through me to help these people. Cultures of law firms are, there's a stigma about law firms and things like that. It's very hard. It's very emotional. It's very, you know, I work in an office with 10 women. So it's very highly emotional at times. We work very closely together in proximity. So that in itself is a challenge, and that's a daily challenge for me. Going through the emotions of what your clients are going through and then dealing with the personalities of the office and things like that, it's very hard. And my struggles at the moment are people's negative attitudes, the swearing, the denigrating of people. And it's really hard for me to just sit back and deal with that. But I look back, and 10 years ago, that was me. That was me as a person. I did that. And now I can't believe how much I have actually changed to be a completely different person. It's quite eye-opening, and it's quite amazing, actually, because the transformation that I have had in the last 12 months has been tenfold. Like, and I'm looking at these people now going, that was me. So now I'm trying to find a way to instill what I now know in them. And it's starting to work. We've introduced a swear jar at work, which is actually full of money. None of it's mine. But my boss is actually going to donate that to a good cause, which I'm hoping it'll be ICMC. She already helps me with my sponsor child, so that's good. Another thing that's really hard, one of the questions that Matt asked was what part of your work industry that as a Christian you have to push against. So when people get divorced, they don't actually attend the divorce hearing, and you ring them and tell them that they're divorced. And they are so happy. They are so happy, and they cheer and they want to party. And that, for me, is really sad, because that's, you know, that's one of my struggles as well. It makes me sad that, you know, I mean, I know sometimes it's probably better than it, you know, it's better to leave those sort of relationships, but it's just sad that they want to party about it. So I know that God's working with me, and I know that this whole journey from 16 years old, he's put me on this career path for a reason. I have some people know that I have a very strong sense to do something with this. I don't know what it is. I feel like it might be prison ministry, but I'm not actually sure. But God's doing a very good job at teaching me something that I'm not very good at, and that's patience. So I'm just hoping that he will direct me in the right direction. But I believe that he has given me that opportunity to be with these people for a reason. So that's probably all I can really say about what my work is. But it's every day. I have a post-it note on my computer, and it was actually Matt that sent these words to me. And I look at it every day, and it encourages me. And it's from Joshua. It's, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for God is with you wherever you go."
Yeah. Stay there. Come on, get a bit. What's it take to get you people excited, right? Yeah. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Can you see the change of life? I mean, it's exciting, isn't it? And it's a challenging industry. I'm hearing, you know, there's a whole lot of challenges in that kind of industry, dealing with justice. I'm going to talk about justice in a moment in our sermon, but dealing with that, trying to treat people with empathy and compassion in an industry where there's a lot of pain, right, and hurt and suffering. even, you know, our laws aren't perfect and our system's not perfect, but we're pretty privileged that we do have government and laws, aren't we? And so that's showing the image of God, trying to bring order out of the chaos of the brokenness as well. And so I think V's doing a great job, and just exciting to hear her story, isn't it? In a very tough industry as well. So let's pray for V, then we're going to have a Bible reading and talk a bit about justice. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the journey you've taken V on. And even as she shared the change in her life and where she was and where she is now. And it's that famous song, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." And Lord, we just want to thank you for what you've stirred in her life. We thank you for those that have been part of that journey. Thank you for her Christian friend at work who's obviously been praying before all this time and said, "I know this was coming." And thank you for that faithful prayer that in faith she was praying for V. Thank you for those that have spent time and encouraged and blessed her. Thank you for Samantha sitting down and reading the Bible in the pub. And Lord, there's so much excitement just in her story. Thank you for the part that Jim has played in her faith journey. And Lord, we're so excited. But particularly, Lord, we want to think of her work in a really tough industry. An industry where there's a lot of brokenness, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of anger. It's a really tough place to work. And Lord, we would just pray you would help V to be that person that is compassionate and kind. Yes, there's going to be times where she has to stand up for what is right and true, and that she has to speak and stand up for justice. And there are consequences in this life of our actions. And so, Lord, she has to be honest in that. But even in the midst of that, God, would you help her to still have compassion for people, that she would show love and empathy, and that she would just be a great influence amongst her peers. And we might see stories of more of those ladies that she's working with coming to faith in life. And that this would just be the start of a whole transformation of that workplace. Thank you, God, too, for her family who she loves and can really enjoy. And I know they're just getting finished building their new home. And so thank you for that provision as well. We look forward to that home being a place of blessing as well. And so, God, you are a good God. You have found one of your lost children. And we can see already the work you're doing in her life. And we're excited, God. Stir in her whatever it is you're calling her to do. If it's prison ministry or whatever it is, would you keep stirring that passion? And stir up, God, what you're calling her to do so that she would be faithful in that as well. And we do pray for her family, immediate and broader family who don't yet know you, that they would come to the place that V is at and be part of your family. So bless her, watch over her, help her to be, as well, that verse says, to be courageous, to not be afraid in her workplace because you are with her, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good stuff. All right, we're going to have our Bible reading now, and Anika's going to bring that.
Today is Romans 5, verses 1-11, peace and joy. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, should we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Thanks, Anika. All right, we get those slides up there, please. Isaac. So we continue on our journey, our Faith Goes to Work journey, and just for this month we're doing that, and you can see we're trying to relate some Bible images and passages that relate to the stories of the people. And I guess, you know, when V shared about her story and being in that area of law and justice, I couldn't help think about our own justification, this word we have, our own justice, because every one of us is a lawbreaker. Do you know that? And not just because, if you're like me, you might have had a speeding fine in the past. Yes, yeah. You're a lawbreaker before God, every one of us. And we're actually guilty, but in Christ we're declared not guilty. We are all lawbreakers. And Romans 5 captures it with this. We're going to have a bit of a glimpse of today. Now, there's people, you could go through Romans. I read one pastor, I think it was 3 years of preaching through Romans. It's up to about chapter 3. You can do one verse. There's so much in Romans. And we could do a sermon on every verse in this chapter. But we're just going to have a glimpse at this today and get this idea of justice. Now, from a human perspective, we like the idea of justice, don't we? I mean, nothing can get people riled up or all upset when someone who's committed a horrible crime gets off too lightly. You know the stories? And normally if it's on the news, it's the parents, right? If the children, if something's been happened, and nothing gets the human blood boiling than that sense that justice hasn't been done. This person's committed a horrible crime and they haven't got the punishment they deserve. From a human perspective, we love the idea of justice. And when people don't get justice for themselves, we're upset at that. Look at TV. One of the most popular TV shows are around crime and justice, isn't it? I mean, there's so many crime and justice TV shows. Movies, book, I've shared a couple times before, one of my favourite ones, The Shawshank Redemption. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but, you know, he's falsely in prison, and the whole movie, you're longing for justice, that the truth would come and he would get justice, this wrongly imprisoned man. Now, if you like the idea of justice, and we do, don't we? We like the idea that if you commit a crime, right, you get the punishment you deserve. If you like that idea of justice, you better stop and think about your relationship with God. You better pause for a moment when you say, I want people to get what they deserve and I like justice. You better stop and have a think about your relationship with God. Now, the book of Romans, that we're up to looking at chapter 5 at a little glimpse. Chapter 1 starts and it talks about the anger and the judgment of God, the wrath of God that is going to be poured out, that God has judged people. Chapter 2 says that both the Jews and the Gentiles are both under judgment, that it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or Gentile. Chapter 3, it quotes a psalm and it says, no one is righteous, so no one is right before God. That's chapter 3 that gets this great pinnacle where you're reading through Romans and you go, well, you're all gone. No one is righteous. And then it kind of culminates, this negative start to Roman culminates at verse 3:23. And it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone say, I've fallen short. Fallen short. Yep, I've fallen short. Lawbreakers. I have fallen short of the glory of God. If we jumped a bit ahead in Romans, there's that famous verse that says this. Here's the punishment. You want justice? You like justice? All of sin falls short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. So if you really love justice, here's what you and I deserve. We deserve death. That's what we deserve. God, who is the creator, the sustainer, the perfect holy God, who has every right to demand that we worship him, says you failed. He can't have sin in his eternal kingdom. Where there's sin, there is sickness and death, and we're talking about cancers and people getting sick. That's what sin equals. So in God's perfect kingdom, where I'm heading to, the glory of God that I have to look forward to, there's no death, there's no sickness, there's no suffering, because there's no sin. And so God says, you're guilty as charged, you haven't always honored me, you're under judgment. The justice is, the penalty is death. So that's justice. Now, hang on a minute, God's love, right? How can God be love and God be just? It doesn't seem right. Well, he has to be both. God is love. He does love people. But God is also a God of justice. I mean, who would God be if he just went, oh, whatever. Doesn't matter. Do what you want, right? And then you say, well, maybe it's not what you want. It's a certain standard. Well, who comes up with that standard? Only the one who created everything, right? God came up with a standard. It's his standard and we've failed. And the fact is, God is love and God is justice, and this meets at the cross. Because at the cross, God deals with justice And at the cross, God shows his love for every person because he doesn't leave us in judgment, because he loves us. Now, the problem is for a lot of people in the world, a lot of other religions, and even sadly some Christians, that they kind of think this is how life works, right? You know, like, you just got to make sure the good's better than the bad. You know, it's like somehow, like, I mean, I'm an okay person. I gave some money to charity, you know, I fed a few homeless people. I haven't murdered anyone. You know, I'm not in the courtroom with V's law firm, you know, so I'm okay. That's how people think, that it's good and bad. But the problem is, what did we read before? There's no kind of, have I done enough good things? It's, you've fallen short. There's no kind of, and this is what other religions, whether it's talking about reincarnation, if you do enough good things, maybe in the next life, instead of being an ant, you'll be a cockroach, I don't know, whatever it is. You know, it's do enough good stuff. And even, you know, I know many have come from Roman Catholicism and that background, but even in then they try and make that you can somehow yourself be good enough for God. And then they've come up with this idea of purgatory, and you go to, because maybe you did a sin before you died and you haven't done enough, and so you go through purgatory so you can be made good enough for God. You're not good enough for God, right? Full stop. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Stop trying to think that you're going to somehow be good enough for God to go, no. I've fallen short. You've fallen short. The penalty is death. That's justice. But at the cross, God's love and God's justice meet. And we read a glimpse of it in Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified by what? By faith. We'll come back to that. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible where it talks about faith, it's not talking about that idea, I have faith that this might happen. Faith is the complete trust in the promises of God, in what he's done and what he said he's going to do. It's this trust in who God is and what he's done. It's trust in not just who God is, but what he says about us. Faith. By faith, I'm justified. By faith, I'm made right with God. Verse 2 goes on to say, we now have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. A couple things to note there. One of the famous cries of the reformers was saved through faith by grace. You can't do it yourself. It's the grace, the gift of God, and you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And what I love about this verse, remember, Romans 3:23, all have fallen short of the glory of God, but now in Christ I rejoice in the hope of the what? Glory of God. So before I'd missed out on the glory of God, but in Christ, now I have the inheritance of the glory of God, and I'm going to enjoy that perfection one day because of what Jesus has done. Verse 3 and 4 goes on to talk how we can even have hope in our suffering. And then in verse 5 of chapter 5, if you glance in your Bibles there, it talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit, this assurance of the Holy Spirit that we have that gives us assurance of this hope. But the real question is, how is this even possible? How is it that people, we've said it, we're all guilty, right? Yes? How is it possible that we're guilty, but God can say, not guilty? Well, have a look at verse 9. Much more than having now been justified, that being made right with God, justified as being made right with God, by what? By his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. This is how we are justified. The wages of sin is death, and death at the cross was the justice. When Jesus died, God's justice was satisfied. God said there has to be death, and it's got to be a perfect sacrifice. And so Jesus, by his blood, when he died, he paid the price that we couldn't pay. It wasn't that he did it instead. It's not as though, well, we were going to do it, but Jesus did it. We couldn't do it because we're not the perfect sacrifice. We're broken people relying on God's grace. But Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, and by his blood you have been saved. So you've been made right with God. God said you've fallen short of my standard. The penalty is death, but Jesus died so that you and I don't have to. This is how God has had justice and love meet at the cross. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's not that somehow you now become perfect. You take on the perfection of Christ. The image in Colossians says we're clothed with Christ. So it's not as though now, well, now I'm a Christian, I'm going to live the perfect life so that God accepts me. That's not how it works. Now that I'm a Christian, I inherit the perfection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when I stand before God, he sees Jesus. And it's such an important thing for how we look at people, how we look at ourselves. We are not perfect. Yes, we can grow more and more like Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every day we're hopefully growing more and more like Christ. But I'm not saved by my own perfection. I'm saved by the perfection of Jesus Christ who stood in my place. This is God's justice. He put his justice of death onto Jesus Christ. And now I can be made right. And it's more than just, it is forgiveness, but it's more than forgiveness. Because forgiveness says, I forgive you, James, for doing the wrong thing. Now, he's still guilty, but with justification, God says, you're no longer guilty. I declare you not guilty because of Jesus Christ, right? Do you follow? Because Jesus Christ is with me. By faith, I've accepted Jesus Christ. I've believed in who Jesus is. I've accepted what he has done on the cross. And so now I take on the identity. I'm united with Christ, and God sees me through Jesus Christ. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. Here's one spot, Isaiah. By suffering, the servant will learn the true meaning of obeying the Lord. Although he is innocent, he will take the punishment for the sins of others so that many of them will no longer be guilty. So this is Isaiah, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus, talking what Jesus would do, that be through Jesus, through the punishment of Jesus, we will be declared not guilty. And so now the result is Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I love that verse. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. No longer under judgment. And so here we are thinking about this idea of justice, and we recognize that we're lawbreakers. No one has met God's standard, but God is love. And so he put the justice on Jesus Christ on the cross. And anyone who by faith accepts that Jesus is the Son of God, accepts that Jesus died for them and rose again, can have that inheritance of Jesus Christ and be declared not guilty before God. And so when I go to God and when I leave this earth, whether Jesus returns before I die or whether I die, I'm going to stand before God and he's going to see Jesus in me and say, Matthew Brown, not guilty. Amen? I'm not a perfect person, but Christ is the perfect sacrifice. And I, in Jesus Christ, am declared not guilty. This is the justice of God that was put on Jesus. And so we better be a bit careful to make sure we're not just a full of judgmental people, because we have been granted grace, haven't we? We've been granted forgiveness. We've been granted the justice of Christ, not our own perfection. And so we better start treating other people with grace and love and hope that they will be drawn to this same grace and love. Amen? Thank you, God, that you didn't treat us with the justice we deserve. Instead, you put it on Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just